Amen. Amen.
I thought the police was coming. Who got scared right there? Amen. Anyway, I'm just kidding you. Amen. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn over to Psalm chapter 122 with me this morning. I'm glad you're here. If you're a visitor, we're real glad you're here. If you're a member, we're glad you're here. Amen. And we're just glad anybody's here. Amen. If you're breathing, we're even more glad. Amen. Amen. Psalm 122. You know the Psalms, you know, there's a lot of Psalms, 150 of them, but Psalm starting in 122 and going through, I think it's 134, they're called the Psalms of Degrees, or the Psalms of Degrees. And there's different thoughts on what they're about, but these Psalms, these few here in this group, they were very special. All of them were special, but these were very special to the Jewish nation. When they, tradition tells us that, and history tells us that when they started their pilgrimage to Jerusalem each year, they would each day, some people believe each day, read one of these Psalms, sing one of these Psalms that day until they got to the end song, and that was the last day of their journey when they got to Jerusalem, the place of worship. You understand in your Bible, the Old Testament, Jerusalem was the city of worship. It's where everything centered around worship there. That's where the Israelites would come. That's where they had the tabernacle, the temple built. That's where they came to give their offerings. That's where they came for the festivals and the different ceremonies and the feasts that they took part in. It was Jerusalem, the place of worship. And so then there was the thought that that there were some steps leading up to the tabernacle or the temple, and then each, when the Israelites were making their journey, when they come to the steps, that there was a psalm for each step, and so they would walk up the steps, and each step they would recite these psalms. So you understand there's a thought in these psalms from 120 to 134, each one there's a thought as they're getting closer to worship, as they're getting closer to the house of God, as they're getting closer. You see what their attitude and what their outlook is. And this morning, I wanted to give you that because it'll help you to understand where we're going. But I wanted us to look at Psalm 122, and really, I just wanted to look at one verse with the idea of what's going on. And they're coming each year to the place of worship or whenever they came. And in 122:1, well, in verse 1, in chapter 120, you see the psalmist when he starts out, when he's talking about, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord." And verse 121, verse 1, he says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Amen. There's a lot of these newer versions that's made that a question, but that's not a question. That's a statement. Amen. He's not saying, "Where does my help come from?" He's telling you where his help comes from. He said, "My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And then when he gets to Psalm 122, watch what he says. I like verse 1. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." There's a lot of people gets glad about a lot of things. There's a lot of people that get happy. You know that word glad, it means to be brightened up or to have bliss and bliss and be gleesome, to be cheered up, to be made joyful and merry, to rejoice. And there's a lot of people that find a lot of joy in a lot of things, but the psalmist here, he began in verse 1 of chapter 120, and he said, "I was in distress." And then he said, "I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills from which come my help." And then 122, he said, "I was glad when they said," you understand that his distress has now subsided. The anguish that was around him, the despair that he faced, it's now taking a back seat. And he's saying, "I was glad. I had some joy. I was cheered up when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I want to preach for a little while on "I was glad." Amen. I was glad. If you're not glad here this morning, just hold on a little while. We'll give you some reasons why you can get glad. Amen. Some people come to church and get mad, but I like to say you can get glad in the same breeches you got mad in. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for a second. Father, Lord, we sure do need you this morning. I know I need you in my throat. Lord, I need your touch. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach. Lord, what you put on my heart, I pray, God, you'd bless your word. and the Scriptures. Lord, I pray You'd have Your will and way here this morning. I pray for the Christian that's here, Lord, You'd encourage their heart. I pray, God, You'd give them a reason. I pray, God, You'd give them a good reminder, Lord, why they serve You, why they're faithful to You. And I pray You'd help them, Lord, to be here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and be here when the doors are open. Pray, God, You'd help them to see, Lord, there's a reason for what we do. And I pray, God, You'd bless them. I pray, God, for the lost person, Lord, here this morning. And they're here, Lord, because somebody asked them, or maybe because somebody twisted their arm. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, You'd help them to see that really they're here by divine appointment from the Holy God. And pray You'd see to help them to see today, Lord, they need to be saved. And Lord, that God, today could be the day of their salvation if they'd repent of their sins and turn their heart and life and trust Jesus Christ and Him alone today. Father, I pray You'd have Your will and way. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. And we'll praise You for all that's done because it's all what You do. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The psalmist said, I was glad. I was yesterday in a crowd of people. And I went to a college football game yesterday and got to watch the Duke Blue Devils get stomped, amen, by the Virginia Cavaliers. And that was a blessing, amen. I enjoyed it. But as I was, I mean, I enjoyed it real. Where's Brother Robbie? I said I enjoyed it. Brother Robbie crying on a towel somewhere. He's a Duke fan. But, hey, as I went in that stadium yesterday, I looked around at the thousands of people. I don't know how many was it, 60,000. I had no idea how many thousands of people was there. And as I noticed, you know, as I went in them stadium, somebody bought me a ticket, gave me a free trip to go to the game. I enjoyed it, amen. And as I looked around, Brother Steve, I didn't see one person coming in that ball field crying. I didn't see one person coming in. I mean, and somebody was dragging them and saying, you got to come. I didn't see nobody with a gun to their head saying, you're going to go and watch this ball game. I didn't see anybody like that. Matter of fact, the people I saw, most of them came in, were smiling. They were laughing. They were talking. They enjoyed it. And, you know, all except for a few of them ones that was wearing that ugly blue over in the corner, most of them enjoyed it during the game. I mean, they was having a good time and hollering and shouting, and they was having just a good time. You know, I looked around at that, and I've been to other places. I've been to racetracks. I've been to, you know, a lot of different events. I've never seen anybody going to them big entertainment venues. I've never seen anybody going to them, you know, boo-hooing and crying. Oh, I got to go watch my favorite team. Oh, I got to go, you know, whatever it is you do for fun. I've never seen anybody do that. But, man, I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of people on Sunday morning come up with every excuse in the book why I can't go. Well, preacher, my big toe got an ingrown toenail. It's going to hurt at the house. It's going to hurt at the church. You might as well go to church. Amen. Well, I mean, I'm not talking about people that's probably providentially hindered. I'm not talking about people that can't be here. I look out here this morning, and I see Miss Carrie, Brother Bernie, and sure is good to see him. But, you know, there's times when they can't be here a lot of the times, health reasons and different things. Some people, but I tell you what, I'm talking to them, hey, you better be glad and take advantage of the times you can be here because the day's coming when you can't be, and you'll wish you're here. Am I right, amen? Hey, and I'm telling you, I see people going to a lot of different places, and they're happy they can't wait to get there. And I wonder, what in the world is it when people, it's time to go to church? Most, I'm talking to Christians now, people that say they're saved, they name the name of Christ, they say they love the Lord, they say they're saved and on their way to heaven, but they don't want to go to church. I'm going to just tell you, there's something wrong with that, all right? I'm going to just tell you, if you don't want to go to church, it's one of two things. Either you ain't saved, or you are severely backslid. Amen. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what the book says, all right? You ought to love to be in the house of God. But the psalmist said, I was glad. When I think of this and I read this and I did some study on that word glad, he wasn't just saying I was all right to go with it. He said, I was downright happy. I had some joy. I was cheered up. In other words, it brought a smile to his face. Are y'all with me this morning? I know. I mean, I'm hot. Is anybody else hot? I could go to sleep in here right now, all right? I mean, if it wasn't church time. I'm just telling you, it's hot. But I know what it's like to go through the week and things drag you down and you're worried about this and that and things going on and things on your mind. But there's just something about it on Saturday night when I'm thinking about what we get to do when we go to the house of God. And I'm telling you,
As a Christian, you ought to be glad to get to go to church. When you come to church, it's a time of refreshing. It's a time of reunion with the brothers and sisters. It's a time when you come up and you get recharged and get some help and get the food that you need. How many of y'all, if there was an open buffet down at K&W, wouldn't go? If they open buffet at K&W and say it's free, come eat all you want, I'm going to get in that line. Amen? If you don't like K&W, there's something wrong with you. We'll go to Cracker Barrel. I eat there too. Amen? If they open it up and say it's free, we're going to eat. Amen? Y'all with me? But hey, we come to the house of God and the preacher opens the bread of life and we say, I think I'll just stay home and watch TV. I'm telling you, the psalmist, he wasn't staying home. When it was time to go to church, he was going to church. And I understand, don't come to me with your dispensation. I understand he wasn't in the church. He was in the Old Testament. I understand all that. But he was going to the house of God. He was going to the place of worship. He was going to where he could get close to God and to the people of God. And he said, I was glad. I'm just saying, hey, you ought to be glad when the church... I thank God for them people. You know, Dr. Lee Robinson started Tennessee Temple and pastored out there in Tennessee for years. He said, he preached this for years. He said, it takes three to thrive. Three to thrive. You say, what's three to thrive? Three to thrive. He said, you need Sunday morning, and you need Sunday night, and you need Wednesday night. You need all three of them to thrive in your Christian life. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. You can't be a Christian and just live it out on yourself and say, oh, I worship God, you know, in my own free time. I worship God. No, you need, when the house of God's open, you need to be there. And let me say, you ought to be glad. I'm going to give you some reasons why you ought to be glad. But I'm telling you, the psalmist said, I was glad. I think the psalmist might have had a little pep in his step. Hey, when he was walking up them steps and he was looking toward that temple and he was thinking about what was going to happen when he got on the inside. I mean, the temple was where they went and the sacrifices were made. And the blood was put on the mercy seat. The temple is where they got to, hey, go in, and they got to hear what the priest said, and they saw what the priest did, and they watched the priest take the blood into the mercy seat, and they got a sense of the Shekinah glory of God there in the temple. Hey, that's where they were headed. Come on now. Hey, they were going where God is. Hey, do you like to get close to where God is? Let me say right up in here in 2011, I can't think of anywhere, and I understand God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's inside of us. He never lives. But I can tell you one thing. You won't find anywhere where you can get any closer to God than in His house. You say, why can I be glad, preacher? Let me give you just a few reasons why I believe you can be glad when it's time to go to the house of God. I was glad, he said, when they said unto me. Number one, I can be glad this morning. Number one, I'm glad because the saints are there. I'm glad because the saints are there. Hey, let me say, watch it now. It was a welcome place for the saints. The saints were welcomed there. Watch what he said. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come. In other words, come on in, boys. Hey, let us come. The door's open. Let us come to the house of the Lord. He said it's a welcome place. Y'all with me? It's welcome to the saints. Hey, it's a place where the saints of God are, children of God. We're born into this family. We're part of the family of God. Why would we rather be on a bar stool somewhere, hey, doing something with who knows who and whatever? Hey, why would we rather be somewhere watching the days of our depressing life than right here? In the house of God, hearing from God's Word. Hey, being around God's people. I can't think of anywhere place that I'd rather be than right here this morning in the house of God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the God. Hey, he said it's a welcome place. Let me say, the saints want to be there. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you don't want to be here at the church, hey, you're either lost or you're backslid. If you're sitting here thinking about, man, I wish I was at the Carolina Panthers game, there's something wrong with you spiritually. If you're sitting here thinking, Brother Rodney, I wish, and I understand sometimes people got to be in other places, but if you're sitting here thinking, man, I wish I could be, you know, wherever. You know, I know where Jerry would wish if he was going to wish. Jerry would say, I wish I was with a fishing pole in my hand. Or somebody might think, well, I wish I could be shopping at the Mall of America. Or I wish I could be at Cracker Barrel. Hey, I'm going to say, whatever it is that you're thinking about right now, wherever you'd rather be, That's what's in between you and God. You might be here in body, but you're not here in spirit. Hey, saints want to be at the house of God, Brother Mitchell. Saints want to be there. Saints are those people, those children of God, that when they can't be, they sit there and man, I wish I could be at church. I can't tell you the times I've called Miss Carrie. She's here this morning. I can't tell you the times I've called her. She said, "Preacher, we really wish we could be there." I said, "Well, just tell Bernie to go to sleep and you'll be back in a little while." Amen? But hey, I'm telling you, saints that are right with God, they want to be in God's house. Amen? They want to be. They may not always can be, but they want to be. Sometimes they got to work. Hey, if the ox is in the ditch, get the ox out. But don't throw the ox in the ditch so you can go get it out. Amen? Are y'all with me? Amen. That's what I got. Hey, saints want to be there. Hey, he said in Psalm 133, when he was going there, he said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." In other words, he was looking forward. He said, "I can't wait till I get there. It's a good thing when we get together at the house of God. It's an enjoyable thing. It's a good thing when saints dwell together in unity." Let me say, not only saints want to be there, but saints worship there. This is the place where we designate. I understand you can worship God anywhere. Hey, but the church, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church is the designated place, according to the New Testament, where we get together and where we worship and where we hear from God and where we seek God's face and where we hear the Word of God and where we sing praises. The church house is where we worship. Somebody said, "When does y'all's worship service start?" It don't ever end. Do y'all worship at 10 or 11? Yes. Do y'all worship on 6 at 6? Yes. Do y'all worship on Wednesday night at 7:30? Yes. It may be a little different form. It may be after a little different format around here. You never know what format is. We ain't got a format. Brother Wayne gave me a hard time. I told him, I said, "Brother, I won't put you on the spot. You know me." Amen. I'd hate to put somebody on the spot. But hey, we worship around here. That's what we're here for. Hey, we come here. We don't come here. Let me say, we don't come here to discuss the news of the day. We don't come here to talk about sports. It may happen once in a while, but that's not what we're here for. That's not our main priority. We're not here to talk about the weather. We're not here to show off the clothes we wear. We're not here to show off our new car. We're not here to talk about what we're going to do next week. We're not here to talk about all this. Hey, we come here with the purpose of worshiping God. Three-time holy God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We come here and we direct our attention. That's all week long we got to deal with everything else. But when we come in here, we designate our priority. Amen. We come here to worship and say, hey, it's a place where we want to be. It's a place where we worship. It's a place where we work. Uh-oh. Now, we'll worship, preacher. We'll raise your little hands and worship. Hey, I'm all for raising your hands in the house of the Lord. I'm all for, you know, hey, shouting and all that. Hey, but hey, sometimes it takes work. It takes servants. The psalmist said over in Psalm 84, verse 10, he said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wicked." He said, I'd rather keep the door at the church house than to be in the tents enjoying the things of the wicked. Are y'all with me this morning? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I don't know how much you know about doorkeepers, but that's not a real prestigious job. He didn't say I'd rather be the priest. He didn't say I'd rather be down there offering the sacrifice. No, he said I'd rather be a doorkeeper than to be in the tents of the wicked. I'm telling you, it's a place of want to. It's a place of worship. It's a place of working. Let me say, not only was he glad, not only can you be glad, hey, because the saints are there, but let me say hurriedly, you can be glad because that's the place where the Scriptures are. That's the place where the Scriptures are there. I'm talking about the Bible. You got King James in your hand. You got the Word of God. Amen? Right there. That's all. Hey, it's a place where the Scriptures are there. Let me say it's a place where Scriptures... Y'all ought to shout a little bit louder when I talked about the Scriptures. Y'all know those people that's died and died at the stake and died in fire, gave their blood so that you can have a Bible in your hand today? I'm telling you, when we go to the church house, this is where we come and we hear the Word of God. Let me say, it's a place where the Scriptures are examined. You know, over there in the book of Acts, chapter number 17 and verse number 11, the Bible talks about those Christians in Berea. It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily. whether those things were so. In other words, they didn't just hear somebody say, you know, they didn't just listen to the apostles. They got their Bibles out. They got the Scriptures out. You say, well, they didn't have a King James. No, but they had that mind. They had that Old Testament. Hey, and hey, when them apostles came, they got it out and they searched the Scriptures. The church is a good place to examine the Scriptures. Can I say that's what we do here? That's the main way we worship here, is examining the Scriptures. It's a place where the Scriptures are examined. It's a place where the Scriptures are expounded. The word expounded means to set forth in detail and in order. That's my job as a pastor, as a preacher, and a teacher of the Word of God. That's my job, to set forth in order and in detail what the Word of God says. Hey, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Hey, preach the Word, be instant in season. Somebody said, well, you don't tell a lot of stories, you don't do this, you don't got a lot of illustrations. That ain't my job, good neighbor. Hey, the preacher's job is to preach the Word of God. Hey, when God called me to preach, somebody said, well, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I can tell you I ain't smart. I'm just telling you, I'm not the smartest cook, but I'm going to tell you one thing. When God called me to preach, He didn't call me to tell stories. He didn't tell me to come up with fairy tales and fables. Half them preachers that tell stories don't do nothing but lie anyway. Amen. You can go tell them I said so. Hey, I've heard them say, and they'll be up there and they'll be telling a story and they'll say something like this. Now, this is the truth. And I'm thinking, what was the rest of it? You ever heard a preacher say that? Now, this is the truth. Or he'll say, now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thinking, what was you doing the other 55 minutes you talked? Or I've been to churches before and heard a man get up, and he said a lot of good things. He had a sermon, and he said a lot of good things for 40 minutes. And then about 2 minutes before he was over, he opened the Bible and read a verse. Can I say, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but that ain't preaching. Everybody wants to be negative on Joel, and I'll be negative on him too, because he ain't no preacher either. I got real doubts if he's even a Christian, amen. You'll be all right. Like I said, you can get glad in the same britches you got mad in, all right? Hey, I got real doubts whether he's even born again. Hey, but he ain't no preacher. If he is saved, he's a good motivational speaker. I mean, a Zig Ziglar. He'll make you feel good about yourself, encourage you, help you out a little bit. But a preacher opens up the Word of God and says, thus saith the Lord. That's what we're here for. Somebody said, what are you going to do? How are you going to preach? I said, well, I ain't going to preach my word. I'm going to preach God's word. And right there's right there's 66 books. Hey, I got a lot to go through right there. We ain't even got started good around here. Hey, we ain't even got started good on 66 books. Y'all with me? Hey, it's a place, the church house, the house of God, it's a place where the Scriptures are examined. It's a place where they're expounded. Let me say, it ought to be a place where the Scriptures are exalted. I'm talking about, hey, where we make much of the Scriptures. Hey, where we magnify them. You say, why would we magnify the Bible? It's just a book. Hey, hold on to your neighbor. Hey, that's God's Word in your hand. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, hey, be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me say, Psalm 138, I believe it's Psalm 138 too. Hey, the Word of God says, the psalmist wrote, and he said, thou hast magnified thy Word above thy name. God has magnified His Word above His name. What kind of name does He got? He said that at the name of Jesus. He said He's given Him a name above every, Philippians chapter 2. He said He's given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every knee should that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, He's given Him a name that's exalted. He's given Him a name that's above every name, but He said He's magnified His Word above His name. Come on now. The psalmist said, thy word is very pure. Psalm 119, 140. He said, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Now, there's a lot of people says, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant reviseth it. No, he said, therefore, thy servant loveth it. We cherish the Word of God. We make much of the Word of God. We exalt the Word of God. You know, they might be a service once in a while, and I'm looking forward to some of them services when people start getting right with God and testifying and shouting, and I don't get to preach once in a while. But I've got problems with these churches that I have where that happens every other week. I know it's getting quiet, but I'm just preaching the book. Hey, our job is to preach the Word. Now, you've heard enough preaching around here, at least in the last 3 months, from the Word of God, right? I mean, verse by verse. You've heard enough of that kind of preaching that you could shout and testify for probably about a week on what you heard. But it's a place, wait, where we make much of the Scriptures. We're not reading the Reader's Digest this morning. Y'all with me? I like to read about sports, but we're not digesting on, you know, Sports Illustrated, Field and Stream. Amen? The golf, God help the Golf Digest or whatever they read. We sure enough ain't reading it. It's all right to make noise in here. I worried about churches where they don't make noise. I told y'all about the Baptist church where somebody had a heart attack and they called the ambulance and they came in and they took five people out before they figured out which one was dead. If you make some noise once in a while, matter of fact, I got a point here that's going to help that out here in a minute. But if you make some noise once in a while, we'll know you're alive. But I'm telling you, the Scriptures are exalted. Let me say, they're exclaimed. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like them preachers that raise their voice and yell. I had a hard time listening to Jesus. Don't tell me he was down there by the sea and thousands of people on the hill and he was whispering. Don't tell me he was monotone and they all heard him. You are crippled way too high for crutches if you believe that. Isaiah 58, I believe it is it Isaiah 58, verse 2, I believe it is, or is it verse 1, where Isaiah said, cry loud and spare not. He's talking about proclaiming the word, preaching the word. Now, I ain't saying the preacher's got to yell and holler. Are y'all with me? Well, if he's called to preach, it'd probably end him once in a while to yell and holler, raise his voice. Hey, there's a hell to shun. Hey, don't go the wrong way. Hey, don't go that. Don't go that. Hey, Jesus will save you. Turn to Him. Preacher won't yell like that. Preacher won't preach on sin, something wrong with him. To exclaim it, to preach it, to cry it aloud, to preach on sin, to preach about the Son of God, to preach salvation. Hey, and preach salvation that Jesus died, that He was buried, that He was buried for 3 days, and after 72 hours, up from the grave He arose with a, Hey, He's alive and He's doing well this morning. Hey, salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, that's the gospel. Hey, whereby you must be saved. Hey, and then they don't even preach that, but they preach separation. Uh-oh, preacher. That's an unknown doctrine in our day, but we're still supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them. Don't wallow. Somebody said, well, I got to wallow with them to reach them. Hogwash. Now, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We rub shoulders with sinners every day. Now, we don't have to become like them to reach them. Somebody said, well, we're going to have Christian rock and we're going to draw a crowd. That's how we'll get the kids. Hey, let me look up in here. What you win them with is what you win them to. And what you draw them in with is what you'll keep them with. Hey, and I'll tell you what we're going to draw them in with. We're going to draw them in with this big King James right here. And if this don't get the job done, it ain't going to happen. Amen, preacher. Well, it's a place where it's exclaimed. We're going to preach separation. We're going to preach surrender. We're going to preach service. We're going to preach, hey, not my will, but thine be done. We're going to preach serving. Hey, we're going to preach that, hey, God's got a job for you. God didn't save you to sit a pew. He didn't save you to sit there on your blessed assurance and sing, I shall not be moved. He saved you to give you a job to do. He saved you to do the work of the ministry. That's the kind of preaching we need. It may not be popular, but hey, it's a few likes it. It's a few still around watching. Let me say it's a place where the saints are. It's a place where the Scriptures are. It's a place, hey, I was glad because that's where the singing and shouting was. Amen. Hey, Jerusalem wasn't no quiet place. You just study. They had the bands. They had the chorus, the choirs. They had the instruments. Lord help them. They even had cymbals. Psalm 150, hey, the loud sounding cymbals and the timbrels, they're in the book. The only instrument I ain't seen in the Bible is that one right there. I ain't got nothing against it. I like it. Y'all with me? I just lost about 98% of you. Y'all understand this morning that when the piano first came into the church house, most people rejected it. They said that was a barroom instrument. Hey, read your history. But they found out you could play that piano and it sounded pretty good, the Amazing Grace. I thank God for the piano. And if somebody knows how to play it, I thank God for an organ or a keyboard or a guitar or a bass guitar, even a set of drums. Oh, Lord help. Hey, a cymbal can be used to praise the Lord. It's what you do with it. Oh, Lord help us. The singing and the shouting that's at the church house, hey, it's a good thing to be. Let me say the church house is a warm place. It's not supposed to be a cold place. I mean, most churches you go in, you can ice skate down the aisle. It ought to be a welcoming place. It ought to be a place when people come, they say, there's something about this. I can get used to this. They ought not come in and wonder, who died? Who died? I mean, most churches are so afraid, they're going to call us charismatic. Let them call you what they want to call you, all right? We ain't charismatic. Ain't nothing charismatic about it. Christians, Baptists was shouting and singing and praising the Lord and waving their hands and their hands. We was doing that long before, Azusa Street in the early 1900s. That, if y'all don't know, that's when the charismatic started. All right? Long before that happened, Christians were shouting and jumping and yelling and hollering. It ought to be a warm place. It ought to be a welcoming place. It ought to be a worshipful place. When we come here, we ought not, it ought not be so, scared to move. Somebody made a noise a while ago, and I said, "Hey, it's all right. It's all right to make a noise. It's all right. Hey, we sing to Him. We shout to Him. We sing about Him, and we praise about Him. We sing for Him. Everything we ought to do. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Man, I got a lot of scriptures this morning I could read in Psalm 134. The psalmist said, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord." How many of them? All ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Say, preacher, does it bother you when you see somebody raising their hands in church? No, it bothers me them ones that don't ever raise them. Them ones that looks like they sit on their hands to keep them from popping up once in a while. They scared to death. Hey, that bothers me. The Bible says raise your hands. The Bible says make a loud noise. The Bible says sing a new song. Man, I got a lot of verses right here. Hey, can I just give you a few of them? I turn over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. In verse number 1, the psalmist said, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." In other words, it's a good thing. Praise is a good thing. Psalm 148 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the..." I could read the whole song. It's the whole psalm says, "Praise the Lord." Psalm 149, watch this now. "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song." Somebody said, "Preacher, I'll do that in my closet, I'll do that in my car, but I don't want to do it in the church. I don't want nobody to look at me." All right, Psalm 149, 1. Let's read it again. "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." Wonder where that congregation of saints is. Somebody said, "Well, women shouldn't do it. Women don't need to speak in church." Get your Bible and read it in context. That is not what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about. No, it's talking about talking in tongues. And when talking in tongues happened, in the New Testament, early days of the church, women wasn't supposed to do it. The man do it. When you study your Bible, only men spoke in tongues. Only two or three of them did it in a service, and only one at a time. Nowadays, I'm just running around the trail right now, but nowadays, speaking in tongues, when you look on the modern charismatic church, about 98% of who's doing it's women. Read the Bible. The Bible will help a lot of things. But in 1 Corinthians, he said, let the woman keep silence. He said, she don't need to do that. I'm just giving you Bible, helping you with the little Bible. So that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about. You say, well, is it all right for a woman to testify? Is it all right for the woman to shake her, wave her hanky and say, hallelujah? It's more than all right. Look at Psalm 150. I'm going to read the whole. You say, well, where do we do it? In the congregation. Well, who's to do it? Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him, here it is, with the timbrel and dance. And let me say, that ain't a boot scooting boogie. That's just a little twirl and a jump. Hey, with glee. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Amen. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Watch verse 6. Here it is. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I wonder who everything that hath breath includes. Let me say, if it's a 13-year-old teenage girl and she gets saved and full of the Holy Ghost, it's all right for her to praise the Lord audibly. It's all right for Granny to wave her hanky and say hallelujah. That's not an unknown tongue. That's what Christians do. I'm afraid our Baptist churches have gotten way too dead. I mean, we've gotten way too used to what the world, you know, well, it's Sunday morning. Most people, when they come through them doors, they ain't looking for a funeral home. They're looking for help. They're looking for something that was more fun than what they did the night before. And I ain't saying the church is always fun. Sometimes it hurts to take medicine, but it's what helps you. Church ought to be the liveliest place in town. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. He that hath the Son hath life. Not he that hath the Son hath death. He that hath the Son hath a long, draggy, poochy lip. He that hath the Son has nothing to rejoice about. He'll be solemn and worship God in quietness and in love. Now, he that hath the Son hath life. I've got a reason to rejoice. There was a time, Brother Chris, there was a time when I'd come home at night and I'd lay down my head on a pillow and I didn't know where I was going. I wasn't sure I was saved. I'd lay down and I had fret. I didn't have no peace. I didn't have no joy. And I'd lay down my head on a pillow at night. And man, I'd worry to death. Hey, I didn't have nothing to sing about. I didn't have nothing to shout about. That's why I went down the road singing, you know, it's not loving her. It's the only thing I knew to sing about. I didn't have another song. I didn't know. But hey, thank God, January 10th, 1999, God came by the person of the Holy Ghost. He took up residence inside my heart. And Miss Carrie, when He came in, He gave me a brand new song. He gave me a reason to sing. He gave me a reason to rejoice. He gave me something to sing about. He gave me a new song. He gave me a reason for living. He gave me a song to sing. Can I say to you, hey, the church house ought not be the quietest place in town. I don't care what nobody tells you. Hey, they're feeding you the wrong bill of goods. Let me say up in here, the church, and these young people ought to see some saints that's happy to go to church. They ought to see some people that's glad to get to go to church. They ought to see somebody wave their hand, shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. That's right. Hey, I'm telling you, we got a generation coming up. Like, oh, what is that all about? 50 years ago, it was the norm in most Baptist churches. Some of y'all old timers know what I'm talking about. Youngin' just ain't out of order. It might be out of style, but it ain't out of order. And I'm glad they still some old fashions around. I guarantee you, where's Brother Adrian? He went to a camp meeting this week, and I'd like to have been there. I love a good camp. But I guarantee you, he went somewhere this week, if you'd have sat there all week with your hands under your buns and not said a word, they'd have come by you once in a while checking you to see if you was alive. Can I say church ought to be like that? Now, I know everybody not saying, I know, preacher. But I'm saying this, if God's been so good to you, and He's pouring in, yeah, and you don't never let it out, I want to be beside you when you get to heaven. My former pastor, he preached a message one time on constipated Christians. Craziest thing. I won't go into everything he talked about. But it's like we take in the blessings. God's good to us. God, and we never express it. And on the inside, it's just like, I want. And they're like, I'm worried. What are they going to think? Who cares what they think? Who'd you come here for this morning? I was glad when they said unto me that I was going to the house of the Lord. It's not their house. Not mine. You didn't come. If you came here to hear the preacher, sorry you missed it. If you came here to hear good singing, you heard some, but that ain't why you should have came. We come in here. We gather together to worship Him. Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's all right. What is Psalm 100? Hey, the psalmist says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart and enter His courts with praise. He's talking about when he's getting close to God, it's time, to make a noise and say, hey, Lord, I love you, Lord. I'm glad I'm here. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. Amen. I could preach right there all day, but I got to hurry. Hey, I was glad. Hey, watch it. Hey, I'm glad when I get to go to church because the Spirit's that's there. The Spirit that is there. You out here saying. Because the Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. You say, well, He's in you all the time. That's right. He ought to be. If you're saved, He is. If you ain't saved, He ain't. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Romans 8, 9. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, God, He is. Hey, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He's none of His. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, you ain't saved. Hey, a lot of people say, I'm praying for the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for the Holy Ghost. Just get saved, you'll get the Holy Ghost. If you got Him, hey, you're saved. If you ain't got Him, you ain't saved. Amen? But I'm talking about a place where we gather together and we ought to all come in here on the same page, doing the same thing. Hey, for the same reason. And when we get there, hey, what did Psalm 51? David said he's a free spirit. He called him a free spirit. Hey, the church ought to be a place where he's free to move. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said the Lord is that Spirit. Hey, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody got a King James right quick, turn to 2 Corinthians 3:17 and just see if I quoted that right. The Lord is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, you say, you're scaring me. The Holy Ghost scares you, you need to get saved. Hey, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Doesn't say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you'll be afraid to shout. Or where the Spirit of the Lord is, you'll be afraid to wave your hand, or you'll be afraid to express yourself. No, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm telling you one thing. It's something I pray about a lot. It's something that I desire. If you've started visiting here since I've been here, raise your hand. If you've got an email, you've got an email from me. And one of the things that I send out an email, and one of the things I tell them, and you can ask them, church members, I desire for our church to be a place where they can have the liberty to worship the Lord. Hey, he won't hang around where he ain't welcome. He's free. Hey, but he ought to be followed. He's to be followed. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wonder why we're listening. So we can be led by Him. He's to be followed. We are to follow Him. That's why when we come in here, we don't have it wrote out what we're going to do at what time. We don't know when we're starting half the time, much less when we're going in. All right? If you came here thinking you were getting out at 12, you got disappointed. Amen? You might one of these days get out before 12, maybe, if I'm sick or something. And you might get out at 1 or 2 or 3. I don't know. We don't write it out. We're going to sing this song. We're going to take up the offering. We're going to sing this song. So-and-so is going to sing. Ask Brother Wayne. He didn't know he was singing a special this morning until right before church. You say, you crazy preacher? Hey, I ain't putting God in a box and putting barbed wire around Him and say, you got to fit my schedule. No, when I come up in here, I'm saying, God, what do you want? I want to be on your schedule. Right. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Like, we're wasting our time if we come in here and tell God what we're doing today. You can have programs and plans and little bulletins and everything, and you can program God right up out the service. And he'll say, well, if you've got it already figured out, you know what you don't. You don't need me. I'll go over there today. Go across the street. You say he wouldn't do that. Test him. He's a free spirit. He's a spirit to be followed. Hey, let me say, you ought to be seeking his will when you come in here. You ought to be saying, Holy Spirit, fill me with your spirit. Lead. When you're filled by the Spirit and with the Spirit, you're being led by him. So you'll be doing what's in the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they never disagree. Amen? So if the Word of God says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, when you go to church, in the congregation, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, say amen, brother. You wake up in the morning, should I go to church, God? And God said, can you breathe? Can you walk? Get your butt out of bed and go to church. Amen. I was glad. I was glad. All right. Let me say this lastly. I was glad. Hey, I'm glad when I get to go to church because the Savior is there. The Savior is there. Let me say, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world. Hey, he's living. We don't worship a little porcelain God. We don't worship something we built with our hands. We don't worship a cross. Hey, I'll sing the song, The Old Rugged Cross. But that cross, hey, that song, if you don't watch out, hey, it'll mess you up. I don't worship an old rugged cross. I worship the Jesus Christ that hung on that cross. And guess what? Hey, in case you see Catholics here, he ain't on the cross no more. He got off the cross, went to the tomb, and he ain't in the tomb no more. He got out of the tomb, and he went back, and he's at the throne now. And he's sitting down because the work's done. Amen. Hey, but he's alive. That's why you ought to be alive. He's in you. Hey, I serve a risen Savior. Are y'all with me? Hey, the Savior that's here, he's alive. They ought to be life here because he's here. You say he's a Savior, it ought to be loved. You say, well, he loved us, but the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Hey, we're showing we love him by keeping his commandments. That's what John said. See, hey, we're showing we love him by loving the brethren. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything that's in you, with all your spirit, with everything that's in you, do you love him this morning? Let me say, he's a Savior that needs to be lifted up. He ought to be lifted up. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's not a one-person thing. With me. Together. Y'all with me? Together. Lifting him up. That's not just the preacher's job. Say, well, it's the preacher's job, you know, to shout. It's the preacher's job to brag on Jesus. No, it's the church's job. And let me. I'm not trying to be mean, but the preacher ought not have to ask you to give a testimony. The preacher ought to have to prod you. Hey, if you've been walking with God all week, you ought to come up into church and once in a while say, preacher, hold on before you sing that song. Can I say a word for the Lord? And it ain't, you know, I'm glad I get to do this. It ain't, I'm glad I got there or I went through this week. No, it's, hey, God's been good to me. I just want to tell you how good God's been. Making much of Jesus. John said, John the Baptist said, y'all know John the Baptist was a good man. Jesus said, a man born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. I mean, that's pretty good accolades to have. But John Baptist said, he must increase, and I must decrease. Well, we can make much of him a lot of different ways. Hey, we lift him up. Jesus said in John 12, I think it's John 12, 32, and if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. Unto myself. Now I understand he was lifted up at the cross, but you can lift him up every day by your life. You can lift him up at church. Hey, through the songs we sing, through the testimonies. Let me say, he's a Savior that I'll be longed for. Goes back to that presence thing. We want him here. You say, well, he said, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be. You understand when he said that, he was talking about church discipline. And he said, if there's two or three of y'all that agree, he said, I'll be there and agree with you. And that'll settle it. But hey, if you'll show up when we got a problem, if you'll show up when we're dealing with problems, how much more will he show up if two or three get together and pray? Or two or three get together and praise his name? You know, the Bible says over in, I believe it's Psalm 22, I believe if I'm right, Psalm 22, right about verse 3 or 4, where it said He's the God. It said He's the God that inhabiteth the praises of Israel. Let me say, if He inhabited, that means He came down and He sat down in the midst of them. Hey, when they were praying, if He would go down there for Israel, what more would He do for you, the church? I'm telling you, you start making much of Him, you start bragging on Him, you start testifying, you start coming to church with a shout on your lips, you start waving your hands and praising the Lord and singing them songs, hey, I thank God I'm free, hallelujah, I'm saved. I mean, like, hey, I'm telling you, once in a while you're going to raise your hand up and wave your hand, and about that time somebody's going to kiss that hand. You go, whoa, who was that? It ain't going to be the person beside you. I'll just help you out there. Some of y'all are going to have to get with this thing. I'm talking about, hey, He ought to be longed for. You ought to come up in here looking for Him. It don't always get on, but it can always be on. Y'all with me? You know, hey, it might not always come in here and the preacher's hollering, running out. It might not always be people crying, but you can always come in and be in tune with the Holy God. You can always come in. Hey, I'm telling you, His presence ought to be longed for. Let me say, He's a Savior that ought to be looked for. That's why we preach about the second coming. That's why I preach and say, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Hey, He's a Savior that ought to be looked for. He's coming. And what did He say? He said, close your eyes. No, He said, watch and pray. In other words, be looking, be alert. Be sober, be vigilant. He's coming. Be on the lookout. A good servant. He's watching for his master. He's watching for the Lord of the house to return. He'll be faithful. He's a Savior that's looked for. Was you glad this morning when it's time to go to church? Are you glad? I'll just give you a few reasons why you can be glad. Time to go to the house of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I've done my best to try to preach what you give me. I pray, God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for church. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity you've given us to be here. God, help us to be faithful. Lord, encourage your saints this morning. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God spoke to your heart today.